John chapter 14. If you would open your Bibles to John 14 this morning. John 14. I've been anxious, if that's the right word, eager perhaps to share this with you today. Let's pray before we begin. Father, really relying on you today more than ever. As we rely on you every week, every day to speak to us, to reveal yourself through your word. Jesus, we know you told the Pharisees you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but you've missed me. So we don't want to miss you this morning. We want to see you. We want to hear you. And Father, I need you today to, if you would, put structure where I have not been able to. And even more than that, God, would you reveal yourself to our hearts today? Lord, I pray that you would go beyond the words that are said and that you would cause truth to come alive in us that we need because it's your word that sets us free. So we're listening. Take our hearts, speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before we read the scriptures, let me give you a little preface here. Excuse me. I found the early service I could preface this for the next 35 minutes and not ever get to the message. So I'll try not to do that. I didn't do it early service, by the way, but I realized I could. Pastor Neil and I went to a conference this week with our network, which is the FCCM, or the Fellowship of Connected Churches and Ministries, which the name is going to change pretty soon because we're all tired of saying all that. It's just a mouthful every time. Because FCCM, Fellowship of Connected, you just have to say the whole thing. We're tired. Okay. But these are men that you know that we brought in, and network of great brothers, and we've been asked to be in leadership now and in that. And frankly, last week I was just struggling. I was dealing with some burnout and was just tired and just kind of didn't have any energy to do what we do anymore. And we had to go to this conference, a 12-hour drive or more, 12 hours, and to South Dallas. It was in Maypearl. I maybe know where Maypearl, Texas is. You can't. Yeah, that's right. Maypearl is it's just west of Waxahachie. So now you know. Sure. All right. Actually, if you're from Oklahoma, it's Waxahachie. If you're from Waxahachie, it's Waxahachie. So it's just west of Waxahachie. So anyway, we were there at a retreat center for a pastor's conference that we have every October. And I really kind of didn't want to go this year. I thought, you know, it's just a long drive. And Jack Taylor, who we love, who's been here a number of times, Jack was the main speaker this week. And I mean, thought, you know, I love Jack, but I pretty much heard everything he's got to say. He's been in ministry some 60 years, and in three visits here, I've heard everything he has to say. So the Lord chose not to rebuke me right away about that, but I did get mine, my rebuke. So anyway, but love Jack, and Jack is kind of one of our fathers. I've got a bottle of water, thank you very much. But your reward is still secure in heaven for the offer. But I love Jack and wanted to be there as a son. You know, he's one of our spiritual fathers, and we're in leadership, and so I had to make some presentations there about Seven Mountain Strategy, and because that's where FCCM is going. So anyway, I knew I needed to go. I didn't really want to, but we did, and it started Monday evening. Well, by Monday night, I was already repenting for not wanting to be there. The Lord was doing some good things. And Tuesday morning, Dudley Hall, who's one of the leaders in our network, many of you know Dudley's name, you've heard him teach. He was here in April. Dudley spoke, and frankly, what he taught on, I've been reluctant to give it a label so far before I could present it to you, because it'd be too easy for us to, if we put a sign at a topic, we could say, oh, that's no big revelation. I've known about that for years. I know all about that. But I'm telling you, something happened Tuesday morning when Dudley spoke. The Lord began to reveal something in all of us there. There were probably 100 or so pastors there, and pastors and staff members. And all. So we were... Listen, here's the thing. It was so life-changing for me, so impactful for me, something really shifted in my spirit. And it really became what Dudley talked about Tuesday morning, became the touchstone for the rest of our meetings all week long. Even though Jack was the main speaker, Jack even kept referring back to this that Dudley had taught. And at first I thought, well, maybe I'm the only one that just has never gotten this. maybe I'm just so slow and slow of heart and mind that everybody else gets it but me. But I was kind of comforted that the other pastors are as stupid as I am. So they hadn't gotten it either. So it was all kind of new for us. So there may be some of you, as we get into this today, as I reveal in just a moment what this topic is, as we explore and unpack it, there may be some of you say, oh, that's old hat. I've heard that for years. And if so, man, God bless you. Please come teach me. I need to hear from you if you know this already. But I'm starting to think, too, if it was new for me, maybe it's new for some of you. So, and the whole concept is something we've talked about before. It's kind of an assumed part of the Christian life. But we want to get past the cliche today, okay? Let me just tell you real quick. Here's how this is tied into the kingdom. This has been so powerful for me. It's as important a revelation as the kingdom of God is to me. And now I'm seeing it everywhere through Scripture. And it has to do with this. 30 years ago, this week, I started preaching. So I've been preaching for 30 years. And I don't know if I'm any better, but there it is. And well, I found a few days ago an old Bible I used to take with me to go preach, and a little New Testament I carried to little country churches to do revivals and things. And a sermon outline that I preached at that time fell out of it that I'd typed up, and it was on the fatherhood of God. Now, here's the difference, though. What we're going to be talking about today is not the fatherhood of God as much as it is the sonship of you. Now, there's a huge difference there. Big, big difference that we're going to explore and unpack a little bit, okay? Let's just read these scriptures here. We're going to read this. I'm going to try not to comment on these scriptures very much so we can get to where we're going. Pardon me. A little sinus stuff. It'll go away even as I'm preaching. Thank you, Father. John 14, we're going to start in verse 6. Jesus, speaking to Thomas and the disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Now, I don't know if you know this, but that's a really good statement. That's a true statement. Philip was hearing from God there. Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. That'll be sufficient. That is absolutely the truth. When you see the Father, when you realize your sonship with the Father, it is enough. It is enough. It'll satisfy you. It'll be sufficient for you. What we're going to see is this, that the devil is really, we have an enemy who is completely set against this whole Father-Son thing because this is the very thing that in which he is outdone and undone. All right. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been among you all this time without your knowing me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Now, this is the key verse. Look at this one, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Over to your right, past Acts, past Romans. The next book there is 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 14. Excuse me. I think you'll see a pattern here. 1 Corinthians 4, 14. Paul's writing and he says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. So Paul is taking on a fatherly tone here. He says, for you can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, But you can't have many fathers. Now, depending on the translation of the Bible that you're reading, mine says, this is Holman, it says, you can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you can't have many fathers. Some of your versions say something like this, for you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you do not have many fathers. Both points are equally valid. It's kind of saying the same thing. In one sense, Paul is saying, you know, the reality is you got a lot of teachers. A lot of people want to be teachers, but you don't have many people who are willing to be fathers. And the truth of the matter is, once you find a father, a spiritual father, or a handful of fathers, people who speak into your life, you can't have 10,000 of those. But how many of you know that teaching and fathering are two completely different jobs? Right? I mean, it takes a lot more energy, patience, focus, grace, wisdom to father than it does just to teach. There are some fathers that say, well, my job is to teach my children. No, your job is to father your children. And part of that job of fathering them is to teach them. Yeah, you instruct them, absolutely. Instruct your child, instruct your children. But there's a lot more to fathering than just teaching. So in the body of Christ, let me just say this. There's a greater need for fathers in the body of Christ than there are for teachers. And that is not relegated to older men. Okay, in fact, you'll see here as we talk today, you know when you can start fathering? No matter who you are. By the way, can I get your permission today? Would you all give me permission to not have to stumble over myself using gender-specific language? Okay, I mean, you understand, when we talk today about sons and fathers, ladies, this is for everyone who has given his heart to Jesus. We're not all sons of God just by the fact that we're human beings. Okay, Jesus told the Pharisees, I know who you are. You're of your father, the devil. Yeah, well, okay, if Jesus said that, I'm probably not going to do better. So, but we're not all sons just because we're people. Paul says to those who believed in the name of the Lord Jesus, to those he gave the right to become the sons of God. In other words, what gets you into the family of God, what makes God your father and you his son, whether you're a man or a woman, boy or girl, no matter your gender, what makes you a son is that you have put your faith in Jesus and in his payment on the cross to pay for your sins, for God to forgive you, and to give you eternal life starting now. That's, if you've done that, you're a son. Okay, so as we talk about sons today, we're covering everybody. Does that make sense? Male, female. All right. So, the you can start fathering the minute you realize you're a son. When you start being a son, then you can start fathering. And we do have the responsibility to be fathers in the body of Christ. All right. Now, pardon me. Father, do something with that. All right, I just don't want to have a whole thing, blah, come up. All right. Yeah, that's right. All right, people start wearing the raincoats in the first few. Okay, anyway, all right. So, Paul says you have a lot of teachers, but you don't have a lot of fathers. All right, let's read the rest of this here. Verse 16, therefore I urge you, be imitator. Look at what he says in the last part of verse 15. Now I have fathered you in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, be imitators of me. Now see, we tend to read that and say, how arrogant is that? Paul's saying, be imitators of me. I mean, come on, Paul, you're not perfect. Paul says, yeah, watch me fail. And then watch me get up. And watch me repent. Watch me get forgiven. Watch me. Do what I do. Be imitators of me. Watch how I relate to the Father, and then you relate to the Father that way. See, guys, we can say, we don't have to be perfect to say that. We just say, okay, watch my life. I guarantee you, if I fall, I'm going to get up. And if I get up, I'm going to relate to, just watch how I relate to the Father. So Paul had confidence in saying that. Verse 17, this is why I've sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you about my ways in Christ Jesus, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are inflated with pride as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the talk, but the power of those who are inflated with pride. The kingdom of God is not in talk, but in power. What do you want? Should I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Now, doesn't that sound fatherly? Paul's talking like a father here. I'll come to you however you want. It's up to you guys how you receive me. All right. Look at Romans chapter 8. So back to your left, Romans 8. Verse 12. Chapter 8. It's the next one right before 1 Corinthians. It is right before where you just were. So just a few pages. Page 1652 in my Bible. All right. Let's go start reading in chapter 8, verse 12 there. So then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Now let me stop right here for just a moment. Let me define something for you that we're going to be coming back to over the next few minutes. And that is, the desires of the flesh, the needs of the flesh are these three things. The flesh goes after these three things: protection, provision, and promotion. That's what you in your flesh, that's what you naturally, without the influence of the Spirit of God, that's what you will always clamor for, what you will try to get for yourself, is protection, provision, and promotion. All right, so in verse 14 he says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So fear is associated with this thing of the flesh, provision, protection, and promotion. But you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now that's a little bit lost on us, everybody, in 21st century America. But Abba really is it's a term of endearment. It is what some say, well, it's a better word for that as Papa. Yeah, but I didn't grow up with using the word Papa, and so that doesn't mean much to me either. But Daddy or Dad, or whatever term of endearment for a father, it's a relational word, not a formal word. Does that make sense? It is meant to say our relationship with God now, because of the Spirit of adoption, it's relational. It's not a formal addressing. There's a connection there. So by that Spirit of adoption, we cry out, Daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. All right, now look at Galatians chapter 4. So go to your right a few pages, past 1 Corinthians, right past 2 Corinthians, and you will find Galatians 4. As always, we say this here all the time, if you ever need to use a table of contents, there is one at the front of your Bible. By all means, you are welcome to do that. We just kind of want you to get around in it. So, Galatians chapter 4. Let me say this too. I didn't mention this in the early service, something that Dudley said this week that I think is good. And we've seen this with the kingdom, and we're going to see it with this concept as well. And that is, if we're not careful, we can hear a teaching, get a revelation from God. And if we're not careful, all we get is a new word for our spiritual vocabulary. But we need to get the concept. We need to be able to move around in the information. You need to be able to move around in Scripture and see how it connects. You know, I've heard guys preach on the kingdom of God, and they say, oh yeah, we're kingdom-minded because we give to missions. Well, that's not what we mean by kingdom of God. And so we don't want to just add a new word to our vocabulary. We want to be able to move around in the information, okay? So Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and stewards until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elemental forces of the world. But when the completion of the time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. All right. How many of you know faithlessness is a pandemic in America? On any given night, some people tell us 50% of the children in America will go to sleep in a home without a father. 50%. Fatherless is also a pandemic in the house of God. But it's not his fault. And it's a... What we're going to talk about today, Jesus said, he said, you know, I will not leave you orphans. Now, what we're going to talk about today, some would call an orphan spirit, but I'm probably not going to use that term very much. It may come out every now and then. We're going to talk about an orphan heart or an orphan mindset, because frankly, I don't want you to think that a demon is to blame for this, and that if you cast out this demon of an orphan spirit, you'll be fine. It's that's not what this is. Now, we understand it. We are completely aware of the reality, the importance, and the again, the reality of demonic forces and demons that need to be cast out. Listen, if you've got demons that have attached themselves to your life, whether you're in your, on your, or down the street, get rid of them. I mean, you got them, you get rid of them. So, I mean, you might need some help, and there are people who will help you do that, okay? But we understand that to be true. But this particular concept of an orphan spirit, it's more of a mindset, it's a heart, it's what some call an ungodly belief. So it's not something you can just rebuke and get rid of. It takes a mindset shift, and God has to reveal something to us in order for this to change. And that's what I hope happens in the next few minutes. And I'm just trusting the Lord to illuminate something in you so that, you know, if you say, well, gosh, Mark, that, you know, that wasn't as big to me as it is to you. Well, okay, then just thank God for me, okay, on my behalf, that it was a big thing to me. But what we're going to be talking about is so huge, though. Honestly, we're going to be unpacking this for years to come. Years. We're going to see how things relate back to this. Dudley Hall, who's one of our network leaders, one of our spiritual fathers, told a story this week that I hadn't heard before. He got by the name Brandon, who I think I'd met. Brandon lived with Dudley and Betsy and their son David. When David was in high school, he met Brandon, and Brandon came to live with them for a few years, 3, 4, 5 years. And Brandon had a very rough childhood. Brandon grew up on a farm in Iowa, and on that farm, before he was 5 years old, his parents divorced. And it was an ugly, bitter, painful divorce, and his mother detested his father, and thus she detested Brandon because he looked like him. Now, this is not speculation. She told him that. So we know this happened. And Brandon, at 5 years old, his mother hated him because he looked like his father, and so she put him out in the barn at 5 years old. She would make him sleep in the barn. So every night, he'd have to go to the barn to sleep at five. And he would snuggle up to the heat lamps that were there to keep the chickens from freezing, try to get some warmth. And in the morning, she would put his bowl of oatmeal or whatever out on the back stoop so he could eat like the dogs ate. And that was his life. And so Dudley asked him one day, he said, Brandon, what is your what's your most powerful memory of all that? What's your prominent, lasting impression of that time? And he said, here's what I remember. He said, I remember every morning waking up and waiting for the light to come on in the kitchen. He had brothers and sisters. He said, because I knew when that light came on in the kitchen, the family would be in there having breakfast. And so he said, I would wake up in this pre-dawn light and I would watch the kitchen window. He said, and a few times I snuck up to the kitchen window and I looked in and I would see them setting out plates for breakfast, always hoping they would put out a plate for me, and they never did. Y'all, the history of man is that Adam and Eve were in the house. They were in the kitchen. Sin evicted us as mankind from the house of God. And the history of humanity is that we spend our time trying to find a way to get back into the kitchen. But the reality is, we give our lives to Christ, we receive a spirit of adoption so that we're sons. We get to live in the house. We get to eat in the kitchen. There's a place set for us. Now, I'm going to say this too real quick. I think one of the callings of the church today is to set a place at the table so that anybody who looks in the kitchen window, they see there's a plate ready for them. There's a place at the table for them in the Father's house. We have a plate we use at home. It's a red plate. Around the edge says, "You are special today." And we give that to our kids to eat for if we have a special meal for birthdays or whatever, because they're not special any other day, but those days, we let them know this is, you get one day a year. And so we give them that plate. And as I began to think about Brandon, listen, we began to talk about this heart of an orphan, the spirit of an orphan that still drives so much of what we do as believers, as sons. Y'all, here's the thing. The fatherless epidemic that is pervasive in the body of Christ, it's not because God is not a good father, it's because we haven't learned to be sons. You see, God can treat you like a son. But if you think you're an orphan, if you have the heart of an orphan, you'll miss it. You can miss the sonship that he has for you. Let's say that you go to an orphanage and you go to adopt someone. Let's say you adopt a little boy from an orphanage. Let's say he's maybe 9, 10 years old. And you take him home and you say, son, this is now your house, and you know I'm your father, and now this is your room, and these are your clothes, and here's a key to the house, and here's the refrigerator's down in the kitchen. You can go get anything you need here. It's all yours. And as you're saying goodnight that first night, that little boy takes his clothes, and he folds his clothes up neatly and packs them in a little bag and begins to hide them under his mattress. You say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm hiding my clothes. Why do you need to hide your clothes? Well, that's what I do every night. Because in the orphanage, if you don't hide your clothes, somebody will take your clothes during the night. They'll steal them. And so I got to hide my clothes. Well, as a father, what would you say? So you don't have to do that here. You don't have to hide your clothes because you're taken care of. Nobody's going to steal them. You're protected. You're provided for. It's all right. Now, it may take him a little while to realize that, because he'd been living as an orphan for so long. Well, maybe the next morning, let's say that boy maybe wake up and run down to the kitchen to get breakfast. He said, well, why are you down here in such a hurry? Well, because I learned at the orphanage, if you don't get your breakfast first, it's going to be gone. If you don't get it now, somebody else is going to take it. And so I got to get what's mine. I got to get my hands on that bread. I got to have it in my hands because I don't know when I might eat again. And I might get hungry later and not have a way to get bread, so I got to get it. Now, what would you say? Well, son, everything I have is yours. The kitchen is open. The refrigerator is open. It's all for you. The food was awesome at this conference, by the way, at this particular retreat center, and we really enjoyed that a lot. And so there was one particular day at lunch, we had like chicken parmesan, and it was really good. And so ate my plate of chicken parmesan, and told Neil, I got to go back and get more. I'm not going to, but I want to. But not because I'm hungry, but because I know that in a few hours, if I want it again, I won't be able to get it. The kitchen's going to be closed. I want chicken. And I realized immediately, that's an orphan heart that says, I've got to make sure that I get what I want because I might not be able to get it later. It's an orphan spirit. See, guys, listen, here's what an orphan heart, an orphan spirit, an orphan mindset goes after. An orphan feels like it's his job to take care of his three needs: protection, provision, and promotion. And the orphan is always looking for the visible. He's looking for protection, provision, promotion. He knows he's got to take care of these needs himself because nobody else is going to do that. Nobody else is going to watch out for him. And he's got to do all this on his own. So he's always clamoring for protection, provision, and promotion. Guys, the body of Christ, the church now, is full of people just like me, just like I've been. I've been a Christian for 40 years, but I didn't realize till this week how much I am usually interested in my own protection, provision, and promotion. For instance, when we first joined the network, the FCCM, I went in and I met Dudley Hall and TD and these guys, and they became fathers for me because I was an orphan. I'd come out of traditional denominational church, coming into some awareness of things of the Holy Spirit, and didn't know who I was, and so I was an orphan, and they took me in and began to father me. And so every time we got together and we began to meet, I realized now I was relating to them like an orphan, because what happened was I was always hoping to get into a conversation with them so that maybe I could say something that Dudley would realize that I know some stuff. I got some revelation. I'm pretty smart. I've heard things from God too. And so, you know, I would try to insert something in that make them go, wow, Mark, I've never seen that before. Awesome. That's incredible. You are really smart. And you hear from God. And my goodness, that's the kind of things I wanted. See, orphans always say, or find a way. In ministry, we try to serve others so they'll affirm us, because we're interested in our promotion. And we want people to tell us how good we are and how good we're doing, and how smart we are. And so I was always hoping that, you know, we'd get in a conversation, and then the next time when I would get up to teach, I was waiting for the time they'd say, you know, Mark Wyatt and I were talking about this today. Boy, he had some incredible insight. Let me tell you. And I would just bask in the affirmation. Now, it never happened, but but I waited. But I realized my orphan heart, though, I'm not kidding you, made me sit there and just, I craved that. I would crave this thing of, God, please let one of my fathers here, let Let my father say my name. Let him tell the other orphans how much he likes me. I need for all the other orphans to hear that I'm accepted. Guys, listen. We are sons. But we're always trying to find a way to get back into the kitchen. You see, we're trying to find a way to provide to get our self-esteem, to get our awareness, to get our affirmation, to find out who we are, to get our needs met. And so what happens is our orphan heart, our orphan mind distorts everything about our environment because we live in the Father's house and we know and we've said for years, oh, I'm a son of the Father, I'm a child of the King. But you know what? We live like orphans. Because watch, with an orphan heart, you know what faith becomes? You know what prayer becomes? It becomes currency with which we believe if we use it right, we can buy our way back into acceptance. We can buy our way back to a place at the table. And when it's like faith becomes this, maybe if we use it right, it's leverage that we can use to get something from God that we believe He's reluctant to give us. So if we word our prayer the right way, or if we believe hard enough, we work up enough faith, maybe we can impress God enough, it's leverage, or we can back Him into a corner with a scriptural loophole where we think God will have to give us whatever He's reluctant to give us. You know what church becomes with an orphan mindset? Church becomes an orphanage with membership privileges. And we're just a bunch of orphans running around, all of us vying for our protection, provision, and promotion. Trying to make sure that our needs are met, trying to make sure that we get what we need and that we get the affirmation we need. And so we compete for that in the body of Christ. And so the church then has become a mother who is vying for her own protection, provision, and promotion with the father's attention. And so she's putting the kids out in the barn and making the sons think that they're orphans. Are y'all following me at all here? Does this make sense? So what we have is an institutional church that is keeping people out of this son mindset from realizing what they have. And they go away thinking that they're orphans and that they have to work for God's acceptance. That they have to come to church enough, they have to give enough, they have to pray the right way, they have to witness enough, they have to read their Bible enough, they have to pray, they have to do all the things, they have to do the stuff in order to get back in the kitchen because the mother, we, as other believers, have kicked them out to the barn. So you know what? When you get worthy of the Father's love, then you can come in. But Jesus says this, listen, I'm not going to leave you orphans. And I'm going to send a Holy Spirit. Here's what Paul says about that Spirit. That Spirit is the Spirit of adoption, whereby you now, as a son, get to call God Father. There's so much I want to say here that I can't today. But let me just see if I can say this to you. And again, I'm hoping that the Lord does something to reveal to your heart and mind what's going on, because we're going to be unpacking it and it may be weeks before a light turns on. But for me, it was like drinking from a fire hydrant this week. I mean, the Lord, I felt like every 10 minutes, God was revealing to me, He was exposing in me an orphan mindset that I did not know I had. For instance, last Wednesday, Annette and Marianna were talking in the office and before the Wednesday night service. And I told them, I said, you know what? I am so tired of this breaking even in every area of my life. I've been hearing about poverty spirit for years. What is that? Everybody's got different messages on it. I'm going to go this week. I'm going to ask my fathers in the faith, what is this poverty spirit? How do I break it? How do I get out of it? What do I do to get rid of it? And so as soon as I heard this thing, as soon as the Lord began to speak to me through Dudley about this whole father spirit, the father-son thing, I realized my quest to how do I get rid of a poverty spirit is an orphan question. What do I have to do to get back in the kitchen? What do I have to do to get the blessing of the Father? When Dudley taught on this Tuesday, it's so funny, he taught this. And he said, okay, now here's the truth, lay it out there. Any questions for clarification? And one guy said, he voiced what we were all thinking. He said, Dudley, he said, you know, hear this and absolutely embrace this. He said, but how do we get there now? How do I get to be a son? How do I stop being an orphan and get into the son mindset? What do I have to do? What things do I have to put in place in order to make that transition and get in there? And Dudley said, he said, now, you realize what you're asking is a typical orphan question. What do I have to do to get back in there? See, that's me looking out for my protection, provision, and promotion. How do I get myself accepted? Here's the answer. I'll tell you the basic answer to what you have to do to move into sonship. Nothing. Because there's nothing you can do. You're a son. I mean, that's it, period. You're a son. You have been adopted. The Father has taken you in. He has loved you unconditionally. Without limit to His love and resources, you're a son. You're in the Father's house. Now, what you may have to do is reacclimate yourself to the house. You might have to just go in and sit down in the living room or just stand in the middle of the kitchen and just say, I'm a son. Everything the Father has is mine. All this belongs to me. I can have anything. I'm a son. Y'all watch. This is why Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. How many of you ever had, I always had trouble with that when Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Doggone it. That's the hardest thing in the world. How many of you ever tried to be anxious for nothing? You just got more anxious. Right? Because now you're anxious about the fact that you're anxious. And you know you shouldn't be. And you're full of anxiety about the fact that you're anxious, and now it just multiplies. That's crazy. You can't just do that. Y'all, you know what the key is being anxious for nothing? Realizing that as a son of the Father, He is well equipped and He has every desire to meet my needs for protection, provision, and promotion. Therefore, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. You know, every day is enough trouble of its own. Listen, don't worry about that stuff. Why? You're a son. You're not an orphan anymore. You don't have to do stuff to get back into God's good graces so that He will bless you. You just have to, y'all, what we have to do is start realizing we're sons and asking God to change our mind, change our heart, to start living like sons. And when you listen, here's what's happened to me. As I've started to realize this, it has changed everything about how I pray. Because, again, the thing about the whole poverty spirit, that as soon as I realized that was an orphan question, how do I get rid of the poverty spirit? I realized, you know what? Here's how you get rid of the poverty spirit. I enjoy my sonship. I realize that everything that I have, everything that I need, the Father has for me. Now, one day, when we were there, let me illustrate this again real quick from Scripture. We talked a few weeks ago about how the Israelites in the wilderness, the temptations they went through were parallel through Jesus' temptation. Began to think about that. Let me just illustrate it real quickly for you. You know, they were a son of God. The Bible says, you know, Adam was a son of God. And then Israel was a son. God said, Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my son go. So, but then they got into the wilderness and they immediately started, even though they were a son, they missed it. Even though God treated them like a son. And we wished He had a gun, I think, probably sometime. But God treated them like a son and said, said, listen, you guys are the apple of my eye. I love you. I'm going to fight your battles for you. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything I have is yours. You are precious to me out of all the people in the earth. And they got into the wilderness, but they had an orphan heart because they said, why has God brought us out here to die? We don't have any bread to eat. At least we had bread back in Egypt, and God's going to kill us, and God does not care about our provision. And so what do we got to do to get provided for here? What do we got to do? I mean, do something with that rod you have and see if that works. So let's take care of it. And then protection, you know, the battles they would fight, but when they fought it their own way, they'd start to get defeated. See, but God said, no, listen, I'll take care of that. So they went through that acting like orphans. But Jesus, though, and He goes into the wilderness in Matthew 4, the Bible says the devil comes to Him and tempts Him, and He says, listen, if you're the Son of God, I know you're hungry. Why don't you take this rock and make it into a loaf of bread and you can eat? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you know, I don't have to worry about it. Hey, I'm hungry, but I'm going to eat again real soon because I have a Father who is fully capable of taking care of all my needs. I'm a son. I don't have to make that rock into a bread because Father's going to feed me. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm a son. And then Satan says, okay, here's the deal. If you're really the Son of God, throw yourself off this high place. And God says He'll protect you. Before you dash your foot against a stone, He'll lift you up. Jesus said, you know, because I'm a son, I am fully confident in my Father's protection for me. And so I really don't have to test that. So I'm not going to test God. because I don't have to. I'm a son. Why would I even question that? And then Satan says, okay, here's all the kingdoms of the world. And by the way, when he passed the kingdoms of the world before him, it wasn't just like city skylines and that kind of thing. I believe it was cultural kingdoms. It was the arts. It was business. It was all these things that shaped the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all right, you know what? If you bow down and worship me, then you'll get all these kingdoms. And Jesus said what? He said, listen, I have a father who will take care of my promotion. And so I'll get those kingdoms, but I'll get them his way, not your way. They're going to be mine anyway. I don't need to take your shortcut. Why? Because I can trust my father to promote me and give me those kingdoms because I know who I am as a son. Y'all, here's what we need. We need a fresh revelation from God on who we are as sons in the house. See, that's why I said the very first thing is not so much we need a revelation of the fatherhood of God, we need a revelation of the sonship of us. You are not orphans anymore. As you don't have to be the one to go after, to clamor for, to fight for your own protection or provision or promotion. Relax. You're in the Father's house. One day, on Thursday, I think, it was last day we were there, and Jack Taylor had spoken that morning, and I don't even know what he was talking about, but I do know, but at the end of that session, man, something began to just well up in me. And, man, I was getting full of this thing of, I was beginning to hear the Lord speak to me about who I was. And so, I couldn't take it anymore, man. I was about to break. And see, everybody, we got through, everybody went to lunch, and I just headed to the altar and just laid there and wept for a while, and and the Lord began to speak, and it was so sweet. The Lord began to speak to me first emotionally, and I, as I laid there, I felt my love for my children. And as I wept at the altar, I just dwelled for a while on how much I love them and how everything I have is theirs. I mean, everything. I would gladly give it all for them. I mean, it's all theirs. And I hope that my kids don't have to go to bed at night wondering if there's going to be food in the kitchen tomorrow morning. I hope they don't have to worry about, and I think they don't, their protection, provision, or promotion. They know that I am for them. I'm going to help them succeed. I'm going to take care of them. They know that. And as I began to think about how much I love my children, God just began to speak to me. And that day, it was just me and Him. And I've been preaching this for 30 years. But in that moment, I just heard the Lord speak to me. He just said, son. And I have never heard God call me a son like He did that day. And I realized I'm not a stepson. I'm not a half son. I am, by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, a full-born son of God. With all the rights and privileges thereto appertaining. If I have an adoption certificate, it says, you have now been admitted to all the rights and privileges of being a full son of God. And I changed. And so all of a sudden, I stopped worrying. Do I still have bills that need to be paid? Absolutely. Am I still wondering how that's going to happen? Maybe so. Am I worried? Not a bit. Because I'm a son. And you're a son. And you're a full son. And you are a son in the Father's house. Now, it may take all of us just hanging out in the living room together for a while and to learn how to not treat each other as orphans and to learn how to relate to the Father as a son. But guys, I'm telling you, this thing of moving from an orphan heart into the heart of a son is, I believe, the biggest revelation that the church needs today. I think this is the thing that will put us at ease. This is the revelation that will make us, that will... See, here's the thing. We have been learning for the past 3 years how to live as citizens in the kingdom of God. But now, God is taking us to another level. A friend of mine, Kenny Thacker, hung out with a wise old man named DeVern Fromke, father of the faith, a few weeks ago. He said, DeVern, I'm going to hang out with you today. I want you just to talk. Just talk to me. He said, what do you want to talk about? He said, Kenny said, I want to talk about the kingdom. Let's start with the kingdom. And DeVern, who's wise father of the faith, he said, okay, we can talk about the kingdom. But you won't get very far in the kingdom until you know what it means to be a son. And so now here's where we are, everybody. We have been learning that we are new citizens of the kingdom of God. We are representatives of heaven on earth. Now what we're learning is, as citizens of the kingdom, we are sons of the King. Now, that's better. That's just good, right? I don't care who you are. That's good right there. We are sons of the King. But the fact is, we've always been sons. But the other fact is, we've been acting like orphans, trying to get the King's blessing when the King says... See, y'all, the prodigal son's a story of a father who had two sons, both who had orphan spirits. One was religious and one was rebellious, but they both thought like an orphan. Because one son went away and wasted his living and came back and he said, I am not worthy to be called your son. And what did the father say? I don't care about that. It's never been about your worthiness. It's never been about your worth. I just call you son, period. You're just my son. So welcome back, son. And the second son said, well, why does he get a party? I've been working the whole time. I've been working for your acceptance and your favor and your blessing every moment I've been here. And the father says, what for? I mean, everything I have is yours. You don't have to work for this stuff. All you have to do is ask me. It's all yours. You're a son. You see, the world is full of rebellious people who have said, I'm not worthy to be called a son. And God says, doesn't matter. You're just a son. Come on in, have a seat. Let's have some cookies. Or there are those of us who said, you know what? I've been going to church. I've been reading the Bible. I've been praying the right way. I've been listening to messages. I've been going to conferences. I've been going to meetings. I've been doing this. I've been ministering. I've been witnessing. And I still can't get the blessing of God. And God's saying, so what are you so busy for? Just stop. Come on in. We got cookies. Come sit down with me and your brother. We're having a great time. Yeah, you're a son. Just enjoy being a son. So I think there's some of us who are going to have to get reacclimated to being a son in the house. But here's what I want you to hear today. And there is, Annette and I were talking, one of the ways that you can come step away from that is by saying, you know what? I'm going to make a choice in my spirit today. I'm going to make a choice in my heart. That's an ungodly belief that I've had, and right now I'm going to turn my back on that. This is not a magic formula thing. It's just a way of saying, you know what? Here's what it is. It's saying, Father, expose an orphan heart in me. And when God does that, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't hurt. It does not hurt when God exposes the orphan heart in you. It doesn't hurt. You don't have to feel bad. God says, okay, that right there, that's been keeping you out of real relationship and fellowship with me. So that mindset right there, you don't have to think that way anymore. And we say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I can be done with that. So we say, you know what? God, I repent. I want to turn away from the orphan heart. God, would you expose anything in me that's driving me to seek my own protection, provision, or promotion? And would you help me know you like a son knows a father? Would you help me hear your voice and just receive from you protection, provision, and promotion in your time? In your way, just help me trust you like a son. I hope that the Lord has already spoken something to you, but I hope that from here on, I hope this opens a door for you. I don't want God to stop speaking to you when we leave here today. I hope that you hear from God and the Lord begins to expose in you and in me the orphan heart. Listen, I'm seeing it all over Scripture now, all over the place. I'm going to be reading the book of John probably every day. I mean, the whole thing. Just combing through it, finding this sonship deal so that God can expose in me anything that's keep. See, guys, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to find a way to get back in the kitchen and sit at the table. I'm tired of that. And now I can hear the Father saying, you never had to do that to begin with. See, when God exposes that, that's the grace of God. That's His grace exposing it. So we're asking the Lord to take that orphan spirit. Guys, here's the last thing we're going to pray. Jesus did not come. God did not send the Holy Spirit for this reason. He is not out to make us better orphans. God didn't save you to make you an orphan that behaves. You understand? He didn't save you to make an orphan that stops cussing and starts going to church. He's not interested in making better orphans. But Jesus became flesh so that He could bring many sons to glory. So that's what He's doing. He's bringing many sons to glory. So if you've been outside, let me, as a son of the house, if you would allow me just to open the back door and tell you, what the heck are you doing out there? Get in here. There's a place at the table already set for you. What are you doing in the barn? How many of you want to get out of the barn? Stand up with me. Let's pray a little bit. Father, our Father in heaven. Father, thank you for taking it on yourself, literally, on the cross, to make us your sons. Thank you for all the rights and privileges of sonship that we have not even yet begun to discover. But we want to. We hear your voice today calling us out of the barn into the kitchen. By the grace, by your own grace and by the blood of your Son, there's a place for us at the table. So we want to admit today and confess that we have been susceptible to this ungodly belief that we were orphans and not sons. That we still had to act like orphans, that we couldn't act like sons. So we, God, today we repent of that, we choose to turn from that, and we just say, Lord, would you now replace an orphan heart with the heart of a son in us? God, would you expose in us anything that has kept us from being full sons in your house? God, would you expose that and take it away by your blood, by your grace, by your power? Lord, we choose today to be full sons in the house of our Father. We choose today, God, to revel in the fact that now we have protection, we have provision, we have promotion because our Father wants nothing less for us, and we can trust you to give it. We can trust you to get it to us in your way and in your time. We love you. We are glad to be yours. God, it is good to call you Father. So, Lord, would you today surgically remove that orphan heart from us and replace it with the heart of a son? God, expose in us everything that's of an orphan spirit. Replace it with sonship. Let us move around in the house. And God, give us the Father's message so that we can help father the other orphans and say to them, you know what, He has not left you an orphan. You're not an orphan anymore. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we say, God is our daddy. Let me just speak this over you right now. In Jesus' name, I declare that if you have given your life to Him, then I say right now, the barn is off limits. It is closed for good. The barn door's closed. The kitchen door is open. Come on in. Sit down. Enjoy the fatherhood of God. Enjoy the Father's house. Enjoy the fact that He owns it all. Everything He has is yours. He is the Father that you always wanted. Even if you had a good earthly father, our good earthly fathers were still incapable of displaying the full glory of the wonderful goodness of the fatherhood of our God. Even the best fathers on earth had their limits and their limited resources and limited patience. And so even they could not fully display the love of God for you. And if you had a bad father experience, let me say to you that God is everything that your heart was craving in those times. He is everything that you wanted your father to be and wasn't. He is everything that your heart desires. So right now, take your sonship, step into the kitchen, have a glass of milk. Lord, we thank You today that You have declared us to be sons because of Jesus, Your full Son. You have made us full sons and co-heirs with Him. We are glad to be Yours. Now, God, show us how to move and live as sons. In Jesus' name, amen.